Hello and welcome to Filled With His Love. On a Sunday in the spring of 2019, I was sitting in a Sunday school class in Papeete, Tahiti. Lolly and our three sons and two daughters and their spouses were all with us to celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary. If you ever want a great wedding anniversary, do it in Tahiti. My mind went back to my first mission when I was 19, attending my first church meeting in Papeete. Back then, I was struggling to understand the language. No MTC back then, just straight into the mission field. My French was very limited and my Tahitian totally non-existent. I had to keep pinching myself on my arms to try to stay awake in that first church meeting. I had a hard time figuring out how anyone could differentiate words in the Tahitian language. It didn't sound like, it sounded just like one stream of sounds without any individual words. It was very difficult for me. But in 2019, when I sat in that church meeting, things were quite different. I understood the languages this time. I felt a little bit like I was coming home to a place that had been inside me for over five decades. Seated next to me in that meeting that day in Papeete was a young married man. And I was speaking to him in French, and I said, "Hi, I'm Russ Osgathorpe. I served here as a missionary a long time ago." He responded, "Oh, welcome back. My name is Pratt Hariva'a." "Wait a minute," I said, "Pratt? Are you named after Addison Pratt?" "Sure was," he said. "I grew up in Tupoy, and my parents named me after that very first missionary." Now, here's a little aside. Addison Pratt was the first missionary to French Polynesia. He arrived in Tupoy, an island about 500 miles south of Tahiti, in 1844. So that was 3 years before the Saints arrived in Salt Lake. Then I said, "Hey, I love how you were named after Addison Pratt. I served the last 6 months of my mission on that island. I loved serving there. In fact," I told him, "I have a picture on my phone that shows the day I departed Tupoy to return home after my mission. I had that picture because we wanted to show some of the pictures of my mission to our kids that were with us for our anniversary trip to Tahiti." So I showed him the picture, and he took my phone so he could examine it a little more closely. In that picture, I'm sitting down with lots of shell leis around my neck, very traditional way to say goodbye to people in Tahiti, Tupoy too. And these were all gifts from the members in Tupoy. And so seated on either side of me were two women from the Tupoy ward. They were about 30 years old. They came that day to give me a good send-off. After studying the picture for a few seconds, Pratt said, "Hey, that's my grandma." I said, "What?" I said, "That's your grandma?" "Sure is," he said. "It's her 80th birthday next week. And she's flying up here to Papeete to celebrate her birthday." He says, "We got to get you two together." That was even more astounding. So we looked at our schedules and decided to meet her the next week at the airport just before we caught the plane to return home to Provo. Our meeting was like a scene in a movie, except this was no movie. I was actually reconnecting with what I would call a beloved sister, a dedicated church member who had helped me find success as a missionary on that small island with a population of 1,500 people back in 1968. After visiting with her, my family sang to her the traditional Tahitian farewell song, Maururu Avao. Here's a little rough translation of what the song lyrics mean. The song says, "Oh, how grateful I am as you depart far across the sea. How much love I have for my good friend. So until the day comes when I can return again and we can all sing together again, how grateful I am." We all sang together on that day in the airport as an expression of our love for one another as brothers and sisters in the gospel. In Philemon 1, Paul uses the phrase, "You are, quote, not now a servant, but above a servant, a brother or sister beloved," end quote. You know, we usually don't put an adjective after a noun in English. We don't say the sky blue, we say the blue sky. But when we do put that adjective after, it means that the adjective is actually more important than the noun. In other words, the emphasis is that you are not only a brother or sister, but you are a brother or sister beloved. A special brother or sister. Now, fast forward to now. I'm on a flight returning from a visit to Nauvoo. So I'm writing this episode on the airplane as we fly. Several weeks ago, I called my brother and told him I thought we should take a little trip somewhere. And I said, I'll take you anywhere you'd like to go. He doesn't get to travel too much. And so I said, let's just go wherever you want to go. And so he said, well, how about a church history site? And I said, hey, how about Nauvoo? He was all in. What a great trip we had. We visited the historical sites, and on the last day of our trip, we attended an endowment session in the Nauvoo Temple. The day before, in the visitor center, a great sister missionary had helped us find the plots of land where our ancestors lived before they had to leave Nauvoo in that great exodus of 1844, a very difficult scene in the history of the church. The temple being destroyed, the saints departing. Our third great-grandparents were even sealed to each other in that first Nauvoo temple. My brother was amazed at everything we saw and experienced, and so was I. When I read those words in Philemon, I thought of him. He is literally a brother beloved. We had lots of time to talk on the trip, and during one of those conversations, he expressed a lot of gratitude for the fact that his two sisters and I never treated him any different when he was out of the church. We always saw him as a brother beloved. That was reassuring, because during those 3 decades, we always had wished and prayed and waited and hoped that he would come back someday. But we also knew that it was his choice, his agency that was at play, and so we waited and kept wishing and praying decade after decade. During our carriage ride in Nauvoo, the tour director recounted the story of Addison Pratt, explaining that he and his companions left Nauvoo. So Addison lived in Nauvoo. He left for Tahiti from Nauvoo and went to New York and sailed around the Australia, a very long ways around the world, to get to Tupoi, that first island where he preached the gospel. So he was the first missionary in this dispensation to learn a foreign language. The missionaries had already gone to England, but of course they didn't learn a foreign language. This was the very first foreign-speaking mission of the church. It started in 1844, fully 3 years before the saints reached Salt Lake. And imagine his challenge of learning Tahitian. There was no Tahitian English dictionary, nothing. No one who spoke English to help him master the new tongue. He was there in a very primitive time. So he taught the gospel to the Polynesian people and baptized, listen to this, over 1,000 people in French Polynesia. He was there for a long time. As we drove away from Nauvoo, my brother and I, we decided to get a little lunch. And before going into the restaurant, I got a call on my phone. Guess who? Pratt Hariva. I hadn't heard from him for several months. And he just wanted to catch me up on how things were going with his family. He was another brother beloved. He named his 2-year-old son Addison. So now we have both names of that first missionary memorialized in the Hariva family. Addison Hariva and Pratt Hariva. I chatted with him for a while in French, and then my brother and I ate and drove to Cedar Rapids so we could return home the next day and get on the plane that I'm now on. So, brothers and sisters beloved, that's what the gospel of Jesus Christ brings to us. And while my sisters and I always loved our brother while he was less active, I can hardly express the joy I feel now that we can share spiritual things together. We can rejoice together in all of the truths of the restoration. As we talked with some of the senior missionaries in Nauvoo, my brother recounted his story of returning to activity in the church. Some said, oh, you give me hope. We had a son or daughter who has left the church. You give me hope that he will come back someday. I have seen him bring hope to a lot of people this past year and a half. He's brought hope to some he has not even met. But whether we meet face to face or not, and even whether we are active members at the moment or not, we can all still be brothers and sisters beloved. That's one of the miraculous blessings of the restoration, and I'm grateful for it every day. And for me personally, I truly believe that these members who have temporarily left the church will one day come back. Now I'm back home in Provo finishing this episode, and just after we got back, you know, not long after our return from Nauvoo, my wife and I received a call to serve, guess where? A mission in Tahiti. We will depart for the mission toward the end of January. We will split our time as missionaries between the mission office and the temple. We're excited about the call. We will meet face to face again with Prat Harivaa family and with many other members of the church and friends of the church that we will encounter. So this is the very first place where I served that early mission at age 19, and we are looking forward to returning and having another great experience, forming new relationships that will become brothers and sisters beloved. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode and look forward very much to having you join us again next time. Thanks for listening.